Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, and I would like to begin reading at verse 24. We will pray before reading this portion of God's Word. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 24. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may this text read and briefly proclaimed give to us even deeper reason to offer thanks on this day and for the rest of our lives until we are called home or until Christ comes again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your copy of God's Word and stand. Matthew 13, beginning with verse 24. This is the Word of God. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now drop down to verse 36. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear the word of the Lord." Please be seated. People of God, almost every Thanksgiving we sing Henry Alford's great hymn, "Come Ye Thankful People, Come." This Thanksgiving will be no exception. We plan to sing it at the end of our service today. It's based on the parable that we have just read from Matthew 13. I wonder if, as believers, we understand, as we read this passage and later sing this hymn, how this should fill us with thanksgiving of a remarkable sort. The parable is largely about the return of Jesus Christ at the end of the age, and every believing heart should hopefully and thankfully be longing for the return of the Savior. This is where we find our greatest thanksgiving. Well, first of all, the parable. There's a farmer sowing seed, and that seed is good seed. The good seed took root. But while the farmer and his helpers slept, the farmer's enemies sowed weeds among the wheat. It was darnel weed. The enemy's goal is to ruin his competitor's crop. And so later, the weeds become very distinguishable, though intertwined with the wheat. Now notice that the text says, "An enemy has done this." "Do you want us to go and gather them up?" the helpers ask. "No, the plant roots are intertwined, and that would simply uproot the wheat. Allow both to grow until the time of the harvest. When the harvest comes, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them up in bundles and burn them up. Only then will the darnel be clearly separable from the wheat, and then we shall gather the wheat into the barn." His disciples then later, after his daily ministry, asked the Lord Jesus to explain the parable. We have Jesus' explanation, and here it is in brief. The emphasis is upon the tares and not the wheat, about judgment and how this relates to the kingdom, but it also is about the wheat. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. And you know, because we have pointed to Daniel 7, that Son of Man actually points to the deity of Jesus Christ. He sows in his own field, and his own field is the world, because he rules the world and the world belongs to him. The weeds sown by the sons of the evil one, the devil, sowed the tares. He is the enemy, but a harvest day is coming. And it is described as a day of judgment at the end of the age, the end of the world, the consummation of all things, often referenced by Matthew's gospel. And it specifies that those who cause stumbling, that is, those tares that hindered the wheat, and the lawless ones will be eternally punished. The righteous, however, will shine like the sun. The reapers are the angels, and we know from Revelation 14 that they are designated to do this because the ultimate one who reaps on that day is Jesus Christ himself. They will gather up the tares to be burned in the fire. Jesus says, "So shall it be at the end of the age." Don't apply the sickle yet. The day is coming in which those who are and those who are not the Lord's will be totally evident to the watching universe. He who has ears, he says, let him hear. By which the Lord Jesus is saying, those who hear the parable, and not just those then, but those now who hear the parable. If indeed we have been given ears to hear by the Holy Spirit, hear to the salvation of our souls. Every one of us who hears this parable is responsible to respond to this parable in belief. In verses 41 through 43, we find a lot of Old Testament allusions, and there are too many to detail in a service such as this one, but the bottom line is this. God has spoken through his prophets, and the parable of the weeds is about the certain judgment to come that was prophesied by the prophets. The field is left until the harvest day, and then the wheat and the tares shall be separated. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, owns the world. He owns the field, and the whole world is accountable to him. He controls the entire history. He controls the entire process that leads to that day of judgment. He controls everything that leads to the end, and this day will happen just as he said. That's an awesome parable, isn't it? It's a remarkable parable. So let's apply this parable on this Thanksgiving morning to the good of our souls so that we might also have even more depth of thanksgiving as the people of God. Let's apply it in just three ways. The first way is this. First, this helps us to see why the world is still here. Why hasn't Jesus Christ already burned the world up that is so rebellious against God's law and against the truth as it is in Christest? The world is here for the sake of the kingdom of God. All that oppose his kingdom will be removed in that day, but until the last of God's elect are drawn by Christ, by his Holy Spirit, the world will remain. The despised and persecuted people of God, the nobodies to the high and mighty of this world, but loved by the Savior who purchased his people with his own blood. The church dominates the whole purpose of the world. Now I ask you, is this not something for which to be thankful? That as we endure suffering in this world, as there are Christians in other parts of the world who can't even gather for a service of thanksgiving such as this, who, if you were, for example, in Malaysia, could lose your life for even speaking the name of Jesus Christ, isn't it good to know? Isn't it something for which to be thankful? That the time will come when the last of God's people will be saved, and then the judgment will come. But there is not one of the people of God chosen by him from eternity for whom Christ shed his blood who will not be called by the Holy Spirit. Every one of God's people will be saved. Every one will have redemption applied to their hearts and to their souls. Is that you? Then you have reason to be thankful. But a second reason for which I think we can be thankful as we take from this parable is that Christ will return and the wheat and the tares will be permanently separated. The wheat, that is, the sons of the kingdom, according to Jesus, will shine like the sun. I can't imagine what it will mean to shine like the sun. The tares and the lawbreakers will be thrown into the fiery furnace where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the separation is not yet. And there may be some here today for whom that is reason for thanksgiving, because you are hearing the gospel, maybe even for the first time, the good news that there is salvation in Jesus Christ. If you do not know Christ, we want you to trust in Christ. We desire from the depths of our souls that the greatest reason for thanksgiving ever fill your hearts as you leave this service today, that you have believed in Jesus Christ and you now know him and have eternal life as the result of faith in Christ. Where are you in relation to Christ? But there's a third reason, I think, for which we should be thankful. And perhaps at your dinner tables today, you can say, can we add to reasons from this parable for which we should be thankful? But here's the third. Since these things are so, we, the people of God, we must be and we can be patient as we anticipate that day, knowing that it will come. Wheat and tares together grow. The church is called to evangelize the world. At the time appointed by the Father, the Lord Jesus will return and the end will come. And what strange authority there is here that Jesus declares in this passage that he will judge the world. This is the final eschatological judgment that ushers in the consummation of the kingdom of God. The moment has not yet arrived, but the moment will arrive when false confessors, evil men, and unbelievers will be separated from those who are saved by grace alone. And we are thankful who trust in Christ, for we are no better than those who will never believe. If we are saved, we are saved by the sovereign free grace of God, and we have every reason to be thankful. No merit of our own, but only the merit of Jesus Christ. We could have done nothing to save ourselves, but in gratitude we lift up our praises today because we know God and we are saved by Jesus Christ. And therefore, we can be a patient people in the midst of the troubles of this world. The long-expected day will come when Jesus gathers the wheat into his barn. The curse has been paid for, removed on the cross, and the fear, this day is coming, this day of judgment, but the fear of the future is gone from the hearts of those who trust in Christ for our salvation. The fear of the future has been removed. Now, that is reason to be thankful. That we can actually, on that day, look into the face of Almighty God and that we can know now, anticipating that day. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you think of a greater reason for which to be grateful on this day? You know, we enter soon into the Christmas season. We begin preaching on it and singing our great Christmas hymns this coming Lord's Day. We enter into that season and we think upon the Savior born in Bethlehem in a manner unworthy of a king, but king he is, God in the flesh. That once little baby, the eternal God, became flesh to save sinners. He is the one who will be the judge of the world. And the cosmic darkness of this world, the cosmic darkness that once pervaded our hearts before faith in Christ, the cosmic darkness of this world of rebellion against God will be over. Do you hear? The time will come in which all of this sin and rebellion and evil and darkness will be done. It will be over. Be gripped by the majesty of that truth. And when he separates the wheat from the tares, he will make no mistakes. He knows who will be burned with unquenchable fire and who will shine in undiminished glory forever. Verse 30, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. The separation will be eternal, and God's people will be gathered into his presence in the place of security forever. People of God cling tirelessly to the word in this fallen world. Believe this promise. Live for that day, and in anticipation, come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of Harvest Home. Amen.